always great to catch up with them right there and giving us an opportunity to get rolling for the football season. Will, it's here. Football is here. I know the practices have been going on, and UWF is not only the defending national champions, they're number one of the nation, and it's great to catch up with you, my friend.
Absolutely. I like the intro. We should record that. Can I use that later?
You can use, yes.
We are recording it, actually.
Well, actually, my voice has been recorded many times, and they've used it in later trials, so you would not be the first one. So
there you go.
The FBI, exactly. CIA, NSA, so you're right on that list, Will. When it comes down to, first off, okay, Will, we had this question, and before we get into sports, you know there's always a random question for me, but we went and saw Gravedigger, the monster trucks, my family and I, and I've got like a little Gravedigger doll right here, but I asked Drew earlier, do you think more families and people in America know who Gravedigger the Monster Truck is than Mike Trout? And I would say yes.
That's a good question. Probably so. And who would have thought that, you know, at one point in America, that Major League Baseball's best player might not have that name recognition. But yeah, Gravedigger, you know, some of those things. Professional wrestlers, I would argue there's, you know, probably your Roman Reigns and all those kind of guys are far more known name recognition wise.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, look at The Rock, obviously known for his, what was it, a fairy wish on mountain, the one with the tooth fairy. Uh-huh. But I think it's one where, have you ever seen that picture, by the way, with him next to Kevin Hart, and then it's Shaq next to The Rock, and then it's Shaq next to Yao Ming? And it's like, life is not always fair for people's sizes and proportions. And it just goes to show you, there's someone
like
always
Russian
bigger.
Like nesting dolls.
Exactly. And they get stuck at the final one. I know there's another one under here. Yeah, but, well, let's get to some football talk. We can have fun talking for hours here, but when it comes down to the fun that UWF has been having, two national title games in 4 years, building a program from scratch. It's incredible. You know, the story is out there now. A lot of people maybe said, oh, I'll go to a game because it's a nice venue, or, you know, I went to UWF, but a lot of people always had another team. Now, all of a sudden, we not only are fans, we believe in this team, and so does the country. I mean, 8 road games as underdogs, they won all the games to get to the championships. Now they come in at number one. Well, how does it feel in the locker rooms where it's not just a we know we're good mentality, it's the country knows how good UWF is now?
That's the big question, guys. I mean, you know, you go, and this happens in sports, right? Especially when you do something like this team has done, which you have to search far and wide to find anything that relates. It's relative in sports. Nobody's ever done this in college football, you know, fourth season of existence, winning a national title. But, you know, how quickly it switches from being the hunter to being the hunted. And I talked with some of the guys about that. And I think what's going to be interesting here, and you know, you go back and you look at the painful things that have happened to you, and do you learn from those, and do you grow from those? You know, they came off that 2017 national championship run. They lose to Texas A&M Commerce. They come back the next year. They're ranked number 2 in the country. You know, and then it just falls apart. Injuries at quarterback, you know, just a slew of things go wrong. And so they've seen that side of it. You know, they know the hype, and they know when it doesn't happen how disappointing that is. So there's enough guys that were part of that in 2018, I think, that are around in the locker room. And then I think you add on top of that the fact that they didn't get to play in 2020. They didn't get to go out and defend their title. And so there's a hunger. You know, there's a passion to play the game again. From my standpoint, all those things feed into this being a team that doesn't just sit there and have that championship slump. You know, they're not still celebrating the national title because that's been almost 24 months ago at this point.
Well, that was one of the things that I was going to ask you, Will, is with having the year off and not being able to play, what is the environment like with Coach Shinnick and the team and the vibe that you're getting from, you know, what you're seeing and hearing from the program and the anticipation for this year and, you know, kicking the season off against an FCS opponent in McNeese State on the road and then just trying to defend that national championship?
Perfect guy, you know, at the reins, obviously, with Coach Pete Shinnick. I mean, you can't ask for somebody that can manage expectation better than that man. And I think that's going to be a huge part of it. And, yeah, I think, you know, going on the road and playing a team like McNeese, who's a solid FCS team, and having to go do that, you know, at noon, first week in September, and really test yourself. Yeah, so it could be a humbling experience where we're feeling like we're going to go over there, we're going to compete, and who knows what can happen, right? You take your chances. But, you know, being realistic, and Pete Shinnick does that exceptionally well, keeping his team grounded. And I think, too, you know what conference you play in. You know you're playing the Gulf South Conference. This is the, for all the fans out there that maybe don't know as much, this is the SEC of Division II. So you know you can't have a week off. I mean, even in that championship run in 2019, we had to go to overtime to beat a Mississippi College. You know, we got into a shootout with West Alabama. I mean, anybody can rise up and give you that game. And we're going to have Valdosta here the last week of the season. You know, the last two national champs will meet here in Pensacola, the game that we were hoping to have last year and didn't get. So I think this team understands, you know, it's not going to be easy. Everybody's going to be out to get them. And, you know, they're going to have to bring their best. And that's the Pete Shinnick mantra, guys, is, you know, our best beats their best, but we got to play our best.
Will, when you look right now at the game and the opportunity to play at home, and what I mean by that is, you know, at UCF, when we went there before we were claiming fake national titles, we played games downtown at the old Citrus Bowl, and it wasn't as revamped. If anybody's been to the Citrus Bowl to call a game, you just be careful going in. But the difference is then we go back onto campus and we get our own stadium, and people jump around, have some fun. But the difference is, UWF getting this play at Blue Wahoo Stadium is a unique venue. But this year, they're going to get a game at home, having a chance to play on that field, beautiful field that you guys have been practicing on and having a chance right there on campus. But what does that mean to the alumni, and what does it mean to the players to get a chance to play on their own campus?
You know, obviously, you get your own locker room and you get the facilities there. So the players, from a comfort standpoint, it's easy for them because that's what they deal with day in and day out. And for the university and for our athletic department, I mean, it's huge because you got the opportunity to bring some people back on campus that maybe haven't been on campus in years and see the changes. You know, I graduated from UWF a long, long time ago, and every time I would come back into town when I was working around the country, I'd just be amazed. Wow, there's a new dormitory, there's a new science building, and so much new stuff has been built. Penn Air Field, we love our partners over at Penn Air, and it's a beautiful turf field. And obviously, you know, the footprint is there. We have the designs for a stadium eventually. We're not to that point yet. And part of that, as you mentioned, Chad, because, you know, Blue Wahoo Stadium is such a unique venue and a great place to play. And everybody loves being downtown, the restaurants, the bars, and all the things that go along with a UWF football game on a Saturday. Wahoos, though, they started their season late, and they're playing these, you know, six-game homestands. And so there's a conflict where they've got to play on Saturday and on Sunday. There's just no way to turn that field around that quickly. So it's like, okay, we got to do something different. Let's play this game on campus, and it's going to be interesting. You know, we're going to have to build scaffolding for press box. We're bringing in the bleachers we put in the outfield for the Wahoos games, and then we'll let people. So it's somewhere between, if you can kind of picture this, it's going to be somewhere between a football game and a concert type vibe. You know, come bring some lawn chairs, sit on the hill with a blanket. We'll hope it doesn't rain and all that kind of stuff. But I think the players are going to love it. And I mean, you'll see it when it's kind of hard to envision it when we're drawing it on paper. And literally some of this has been done on napkins, right? You know, we've sat there and done this, but we're bringing in a giant video board. They're putting one end zone. We've got a scoreboard up there and all that kind of stuff. So it'll be unique, and we're calling it a one-time deal, but, you know, definitely commemorative tickets. This will be the first game on campus, and then we'll go back to Blue Wahoo Stadium. And, you know, it's going to be really cool. And we're hoping to have it. It will definitely be the largest event that's ever taken place on our campus, and it's a lot of standing room only ticket. We encourage people to come out. That's September 11th. That's the first home game, and what an emotional day it's going to be in a lot of ways. Obviously, with the anniversary of 9/11, 20 years on, and we're gonna commemorate that as well. But you want to be able to say I was there. I was there when UWF played on campus, and put up a bunch of points on the board.
Yeah, one question. This is, I guess, is not as much about the team, but more about you personally, Will. What's your favorite part about, being a part of the athletic department, but more in particular, the voice of the Argos? I guess what is, in your vantage point, from your vantage point, the favorite part of the job that you get to do on a regular basis around all those athletes?
It's so cool to me, having gone to the university. I was a student when they brought men's basketball back after, dropping it in the 70s and not having it for 15 years. And so they brought men's basketball back, and I was, part of a committee that helped with that. And then I was working at Channel 3, one of my stops there, when they announced, we're going to get a football team. And it had kind of been floating in the wind for years. And so then I was away in Charlotte, North Carolina. I watched that 2017 game on ESPN. One of my friends, Tom Luganbill, was calling the game on TV. And I was just like, this is surreal to watch UWF plays football, and then to be in the booth in McKinney, Texas, which is part of the one of the TV markets, the Dallas area that I worked in through the years. I mean, just remember sitting there thinking, you know, wow, it just all comes together. It's a small world after all. You know, that song gets stuck in your head. You go to Disney and all that stuff. But for me, and I say this, you know, without hesitation, the best part of it for me always is the student athletes, and especially at this level, because they are truly some amazing young people, and they do it in the field of play, the court of play. They do it in the classroom. You know, we had more last semester and the last academic year. We had more kids make the president's list. We had more kids 4.0, more kids 3.0 or higher than we've ever had. So these kids, they're just doing it all, and they go on to do amazing things. And, you know, we had a great run with baseball in the spring, and I think everybody's excited about, you know, and golf, men's golf too, and softball and all that. But everybody's excited about football being back, and it really has become, and Chad was kind of touching on it there, it's become something else, right? I mean, they're Pensacola's team now, and that, you know, some of it, knock on wood kind of thing, is, you know, that some of the other, you know, the Floridas and the Florida States and the Miamis have been down a little bit. They haven't been where they once were. And so I think you're seeing a lot of people that are like, yeah, so FSU's my team or Florida's my team or whatever. But they're not just like, I'll watch UWF football. They're getting into it, right? They're buying the merchandise, and they're getting on board. I mean, you call it bandwagon, whatever, but they're jumping in, and they're all go Argos, and we love it. And, you know, the support was tremendous during the playoff run and the number of people that came to McKinney, Texas for that game. And so one of our goals, one of Coach Shank's goals and the team goal this year is let's have a home playoff game. We haven't had one. I mean, imagine that, right? Two championship games and a national title, and you haven't played a game at home in the postseason.
Well, it probably won't affect as many people on Instagram or social media or even getting the calls every day when it comes to name, image, and likeness for Division II. But, you know, there's still some really good athletes, and people are having fun on TikTok and Twitter. That guy Will Levis, I think, ate an entire banana with the skin on it still, and it went. And then people are like, well, maybe that's why he's at Kentucky. But, you know, they made jokes and had fun with it. But at the same time, you know, he's probably going to get paid by Chiquita Banana, I'm sure. We'll get him a sponsorship. So we never know, but people are always trying these different things and having the opportunity. Have you heard of any of the kids taking the advantage or the opportunity? And really, what is Coach Shinnick's motto? I always feel like he's been a player's coach. And when I say that, the great Bobby Bowden passing away at the age of 91. Mark Richt said, who learned a lot, and Mark Richt's coaching philosophy was a lot of that, put faith, family, and football in that order. But he always talked about how, you know, some people feel like instilling fear, like Bob Knight, you were afraid you were going to get choked or a chair was coming at you if you didn't make a layup. But he's also a legendary coach. Sometimes coaches have that real nice, like everything's happy. Bobby did it in a way where he always had a smile on his face. And Mark Richt seemed to be a nice guy coach as well. If you look at the way that Coach Shinnick and the way he's run his team, how has he talked about this, or is it even been really mentioned or out there? Have you seen anybody doing some fun videos and getting a chance to make some money?
We've had discussions about that. I mean, it's just such a gray area still, even though, you know, it's legal and all these things now and it has the NCAA approval, but as an institution, we still work through what does that look like for us? And there's a lot of stuff that's still being figured out. You know, I think Coach Shinnick's thing is, if, you know, and this, I'll tie it to this, because we were talking about a game in 2019 during that season. I forget which one it was. We were up big at halftime, and Coach Shinnick said to me, he said, you know, I looked over at the half, you know, we're going to the locker room, we're up 30 or whatever, and the guys are dancing around and having a good time. And I thought to myself, do I need to do something, you know, do I need to focus them or not? And he said, no, you know what, let's see what they do coming out of the locker room. Do they handle their business? And I think that's kind of the way he is. If team is first and your performance is first and achieving the goals that you set as a team and as a family come first, then I think the other stuff, there's room for it, right? So I think you're right. He is a player's coach in that mentality, in that way. You know, Division II, you don't expect to see much of it. It could happen. It already has happened. Our quarterback, Austin Reed, has already done something, I think, for Running Wild, the you know, running apparel store here in Pensacola. So it's already out there, and we just have to deal with it case by case and kind of, you know, the times have changed, right? I mean, We're not Miami. Nobody's handing out money left and right, like the booster down there, you know, once the decision came in. But I think it's just all about, and that's really what Coach Shinnick preaches, is, you know, you got to put your business first and take care of your business first. And I think this team, from what I've seen, you know, in fall camp and through the spring as well, they are so focused on proving something. You know, winning, I think, you know, there's that mentality too. I think a lot of people thought, well, yeah, they won and, you know, Cinderella story and all that, you know, they won't do it again. And I think that's what this team is about, is like they want to come out and prove something, right? They want to prove they're the champ. And you know, you are the champ until somebody beats you.
So that's why Paul's not calling me back down there. Okay, so see, I was the before picture for running, and then they had the after, somebody in good shape, like finish a marathon. I was supposed to get paid as the before picture of a guy.
I'm going to make no jokes about running your mouth, Chad. I'm not even going to go there.
Listen, Paul, you know what's funny is I've done emceed a lot of the races, and the Double Bridge Run and Pensacola Marathon for years, and worked with Paul, but I actually, one time in Blackwater, there's so many races in this area, if people don't know, I was going out to do one it was a triathlon, and I got lost out. There's no cell phone service once you get out by Blackwater, and I pulled down the wrong road, and there's another run going on. So I come out here, and Paul's got his event going on, and he looks and he goes, Chad, I don't think you're doing this one. He's like, I was like, well, while I'm here, can I just grab a mic until I figure out what's next? And he's like, sure, but I'm not paying you. It was like, but it was funny. I was like, we had a blast, but there's he does so much for the community and one of the nicest guys. So I'm glad if they're a brand that's getting endorsed, they've got my support. That's where I get my shoes, and that might not be a good endorsement for them.
That's the only one I've seen so far.
But that's cool, Will. And you know what, though? I hope these kids can do it within reason and get an opportunity. But Austin's a special kid, and I hope nothing but the best. He seems like he's got his head on straight, and he's a true leader. But behind a lot of championship-type teams, there's always that kind of guy. And, Will, we have
– Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
He's got the hunger. You know, even coming off that great season he had and winning a title, that kid has the hunger to do it again. So he's kind of setting the tone, and you guys probably saw – on his social media. I mean, he got a chance to go over and work out with Trevor Lawrence.
I did see that.
With the Jags a little bit. I mean, this is a guy that is improving his craft at all times and vocally as a leader. And so you've got him. And, you know, we lost some talent, obviously, offensive line, receiver, in a couple areas. The defense is probably better than it was in 2019, which is saying something. But we got a guy named Shay Campbell, a transfer from West Virginia, middle linebacker that's outstanding. You've got De'Anthony Bell back there, who I think, my opinion, will be the first, you know, UWF player drafted in the NFL and probably pretty high if he can stay healthy and do the things that we think he can do. And then you've got, you know, some other guys that transferred in to boost the offensive line. The receiver core, you lose Tate, you know, you lose Quentin Randolph, you lose Kevin Grant, and you've got guys coming in and stepping up. And this team is phenomenal to watch at practice. And it really does feel like, one of the kids said this to me the other day, you know, we feel like we're going out and playing the championship game every day at practice when the ones go against the ones, the offense against the defense, first unit. And, I mean, it is, you know, the Olympics talked about this, you know, iron sharpening iron. That is really what you're seeing out there. So they've got a scrimmage coming up on Friday, middle of the day. If anybody wants to come bake in the sun, they're playing at noon because that first game over at McNeese is a noon start on the 4th of September. And then we got the fan night, which is a cool opportunity to come out under the lights on August 26th, which is a Thursday night. So come on out and watch us, you know, scrimmage and kind of do the fan stuff. And, of course, COVID restrictions make it a little bit funky this time. We can't do autographs after and all that stuff. But it is a chance to come watch the team before we dive in. I mean, the season's coming up, right, you guys? It's just around the corner. We're, you know, then it's every week, and here we go.
Will, we could talk for hours. I love our conversations and just talking sports. And you've been in the business longer than I have. Sorry to age you, but just having a chance to learn from great people like you and get to catch up is always a treat. We do have to catch our top
always
of the
my
hour.
Pleasure.
Hey, Will, thank you for the time, and we'll do it again here soon,
yeah,
my friend.
Absolutely. Anytime.
Thanks, Will.
Thanks, buddy.